money is important, but here's the thing. Our body is our number one asset. When we don't have our body, we can't make money. When we don't have our body, we can't enjoy a meaningful life. So our body is our number one asset in terms of money and meaning.
Welcome to Wealthy, Wealthy Life, the podcast dedicated to busting age-old myths that are preventing you from becoming wealthy, healthy, and happy. I'd like to introduce your host, award-winning entrepreneur, best-selling financial author, and avid health enthusiast, Christina Weiss.
Welcome back to another episode. I'm host Kevin Cottrell. Welcome to the show, Christina.
It's great to be here. Thank you, Kevin.
Well, I'm looking forward to our conversation. You and I have a sort of a long journey together, right? We from a different world in real estate. We both crossed paths numerous times. And I know that I'm excited to talk to you today about your journey because, like myself and my story, and for listeners that have listened to my story, health became critical for me. And I know it did for you as well. In other words, we had some crossroads we hit where we were forced to make some decisions and sort of reassess what I called a overemphasis on business, at least in my personal case, and then get back to the basics and get on track. So before we dig into sort of your business practice and some of the stuff you do now, why don't you share a little bit of your story and how you got where you are today in terms of your journey around health?
You know, the story is so long. So I try to figure out like, how do I keep it really short? And the shortest version that I can, I think, share without leaving too much out where it wouldn't make sense is that in 2012, I was really, my career was blowing up. Like all of the work that I had done to get to that place in my career, which, as you know, real estate and really hitting that national level, is that I'd hit, let's say, sort of that proverbial top. And I mean, I did feel on top of the world. My ego was big. My bank account was really filling up. And I was an adrenaline junkie. But it was very forceful, intentional, competitive, eager. My entire sort of self-worth and value and everything was attached to that some level of success and being considered in certain circles and winning certain awards. And that's really how my life was oriented. So I'd say a very Western world. And it was all, I mean, that was a great model as far as I achieved a lot of success. I had a lot of accomplishments, some huge accolades, and was, you know, written up as sort of the one of the top leaders in that world multiple times, was sort of known as a disruptor, and my name was everywhere. I mean, my just entire name, brand, business blew up. And in, let's say, that year of 2012, everything obviously leading up, a lot of hard work leading up to that. And that model worked really well until it didn't. And in 2013, I went from, let's say, the proverbial top, landing a really important keynote presentation with the top leaders in the industry, standing ovation. I mean, I could have written my ticket to wherever I was going to go next in the industry, really. And that was great. And then within about 5 days, let's say, of being at the very height of my career, where I could have sort of really named my price and where I was going next, within just really a matter of days, actually, I was on my deathbed and didn't know it at the time. But I was so sick, I lost my cognitive ability. I lost my physical ability. My, you know, body was slowly shutting down. My brain was slowly shutting down and nobody could figure out what was wrong. But it was crazy. The crazy thing about that is that, I mean, I went from thinking everything was completely fine to being on my deathbed within a matter of days. So, and at the time I didn't understand why, and it's certainly been a journey since then. And that, you know, that 2013, that year was all about really confronting the Western sort of medical system, if you will, and going through sort of standard protocol for health, and then became a journey of self-healing, spiritual healing, and really fighting for my life, which is a lot of spiritual healing, and learning a lot about health and wellness. And like you said, the basics, or what I say is like the most important attributes of life or living, and the meaning of life, and being and having to sort of discover that and having the opportunity to do so, because you know, I had nothing else to do really other than try to fight for that and figure that out. So that's what that year became about. And then since then, sort of reshaping my life to fit a new philosophy that I had invented for myself, you know, that sort of really contradict or was, you know, quite in contrast to the life leading, you know, leading up to that event.
What's interesting about this is you anecdotally hear two different sort of epilogues to these stories, either people that reinvent themselves like you or me or Stephanie, and you know, she was in the hospital and had a serious health issue and crisis as well, or sometimes people don't come back. And I want listeners to realize this, these are these stories you see posted on Facebook that, you know, people go to sleep and they don't wake up, or people that are markedly young have a crisis in their health and they pass away. And that's not meant to be macabre and have you be worried about it. But, you know, Christina, I think you and I both share this where we realize that we're great machines as humans until we're not. And that's what I think probably your big aha must have been is, how did this happen? How all of a sudden did my body just decide today's the day to go off the rails?
Yeah, and it was amazing. Again, I had no idea anything was wrong. You know, I thought I would have categorized myself as optimally healthy and my lifestyle was healthy. And I thought I was like the epitome of good health. So that's how unaware I was. And even as a marathon runner and a, you know, an adrenaline junkie, I mean, I thought that was the way to be healthy. You know, little did I know. So yeah, I think, you know, our lifestyles are setting us up a way that we don't really know how close to the edge we really are. And to your point, like some of us get an opportunity to come back and some of us just get taken out without that opportunity.
Well, and for listeners, the important takeaway here is something that Christina just talked about, which I'm sure we'll spend some time on today, which is the misperception in the world of, I'll call it health, wellness, and fitness, that certain activities will keep you out of harm's way. And then when you deal with lifestyle choices, those are starting to get more attention. But I'm sure you had some ahas about some major lifestyle changes you had to make, didn't you?
Yeah, you know, the journey was so profound. I mean, all of us that have had to fight for our life and reinvented ourselves as a result of, you know, sort of what we learned through that journey. You know, I received a lot of like awareness of things that were invisible to me before, because I was so in the rat race. I was so in the achievement game. I was so into success and money and accomplishment and achievement, and what I drove mattered. You know, the groups I hung out with mattered. What was, you know, the titles next to my name mattered. Everything, my entire life was organized around sort of this external approval, this external realization or knowledge of who I was and what I was doing and how awesome I was. And so that's how my life was oriented. And so it had a lot to do with, you know, money and business and accomplishment, achievement and stuff, like things, status symbols, if you will. And so, and on my deathbed and my proverbial deathbed and literal one for that matter, and I'm sure, you know, anybody that has gone through this type of experience, the realization on that deathbed was all that stuff doesn't matter. When I was so sick, when you're sick, and I think so much, maybe even what you're trying to do now, and I know what I'm trying to do is help people maybe learn some of these lessons before they wind up in a similar place. I'd love to save a lot of people from the suffering that I experienced personally and then what I produced for my family because they suffered along with me. But it's this realization, you know, when you're sick is you would give anything. You would give, if you were a billionaire, you'd give your last $1 billion to get your health back if that's what it cost. If you're sick and fighting for your life, you would give your house away, your car away, your lake house away, your boat away, your private airplane away. You would give everything away just to get your health back. And so it becomes, you know, it becomes really obvious what's most important. And I didn't see that before. I just thought, like you said, my body was a machine. I thought it was healthy. I thought I had no limits. I thought I could push myself. I thought I could live on that adrenaline, you know, constantly without any consequence. I thought I could exercise my way out of a bad diet. I really thought that I just was invincible, you know, that, and so I did too much. And I, you know, sort of my mantra is more is better at the time, more stuff, more money, more things, more all of it.
Well, we've certainly all been there. You know, I'm not ashamed to say that, as you know, from our background in real estate, that we were all riding that same train. And like you said, it's a awakening that happens. And, you know, fortunately, we're able to help and be passionate about helping others. I want to have you repeat something that I've heard you say before, because I think part of the problem is how listeners, if you will, treat healthcare insurance. Because in other words, if we're going to be our own advocate and be passionate about our health, I heard you mention this before, and I think you know what I'm talking about, where you think about the model of health insurance versus auto insurance. And I think it's really, really interesting because it'll allow us to tie this down, because people think about this all wrong, don't they?
Yeah, well, we do. I think there's two things wrong. Two things broken, maybe. The first thing broken that I think we're referring to is just sort of this Western mindset that the game is about achievement and status. And so we sacrifice our health, we sacrifice maybe our families, we sacrifice a lot to be in that game and fighting to win some medal at the end when there is no end, really. So that's the first thing. And that was the first lesson for me, is that I had this realization, like on my deathbed, is like none of that mattered. Everything I fought so hard for doesn't matter. What really matters is something very different than that. And so I think, first of all, it's getting our philosophies maybe in the right order. And I'm not going to suggest what anybody's philosophy should be, but for me, it really, my life changed from being more external focused to more internal focused. And to realize is that, the meaning of life wasn't that game I was in, but something very different. So that was sort of the transformation of self and transformation of philosophy. That's much more stoic and minimalistic and essentialistic these days, and more focused on family and meaning and happiness and some of these elements, and the money and the stuff and everything sort of the byproduct of that versus the goal or the target. So that's the first thing that was broken for me personally, that I think breaks a lot of us, because we can't, that model breaks down. And I sort of was, you know, the sort of that system, I'm an achiever, you know, so I became very good at that game and was winning that game and thought it worked until it didn't work. And I'm a really good example, and I think you are too, Kevin, that we succeeded at a very high level, but it broke us to the point. So I don't think it's sustainable is the point. It works until it doesn't. The second side that I think you're referring to, and the other thing that's broken, is a lot of sort of our healthcare system, one, in how we approach our own healthcare. So, you know, when I was going through my story, I sort of was confronted with a couple of different paradoxes that took me a while to reconcile and sort of figure out. And I had a 9-month journey of trying to save my life, of getting sicker and sicker until we got a diagnosis and then not sure if it was reversible or not. So, but it's 9 months of suffering before I sort of saw light at the end of the tunnel. So there's a lot of time to sort of be confronted with this, a lot of existential despair and just a really dark period, if you will, psychologically, physically, mentally, spiritually, all of it came crumbling down. It was a very dark place. But anyway, during this thing, one paradox that I, you know, was left with was, one is that money matters more than anything. So the money game is an important game. And even in the health circles, the reason why I love talking about money, sort of in these health circles and to health audiences, is because, you know, we are focused on health, but money is an important component that can't be left aside, because it has its own, like when we don't have knowledge of it, it has its own implications of it, how it can be destructive one way or another. But so money does matter more than anything. And the reason why I realized this on my deathbed is that it cost me during 2013, I'm not kidding, it cost $250,000 to save my life. All the treatment that went through, because it was the alternative treatment and really sort of coming into learning about health and body and biology and physiology and some of these things that were very much in contradiction to what I thought was healthy before, diet, all these different things. So, but it took an alternative approach, alternative medicine, functional medicine, changing my entire lifestyle. And it cost $250,000 to get my health back cash, because this alternative side of things is not covered by insurance. So it's this realization, like, okay, holy shit, money does matter. And the reason why I was able to save my life is because we had the money and we were smart with money. And so that's the big truth. I mean, that was a big realization, because had we not had the $250,000 in assets, sort of liquid assets that we could use, I can promise you I wouldn't be here today. So that was like big aha number one. But on the other side of that, the paradox was that, but it's not about the money. Because I learned on my deathbed that all the money and status and all this stuff doesn't matter, because I would have given every dollar away, and I almost did to get my health back. So here I was sitting with this sort of paradoxical realization of money matters more than anything, but it's not about the money. But if it's not about the money, what's it about? And so that was a question I went after. So to sort of go back to where you're going, and the money matters more than anything, but it's not about the money, it's first of all, it's like, what is the meaning of my life? And that's really important to figure out. The second part of that is where things are broken in the healthcare system is the way we approach our health. Part of reason why my body broke down is because I didn't invest in my health. I just, I took it for granted. One, I pushed myself, full adrenal fatigue, which I think is even what Stephanie, part of what broke her, which is very serious for us overachievers, is the adrenal fatigue part, where it's just our adrenals break basically. But what happens is we either push ourselves too hard, one, and or we have a flawed outlook on the way we think of healthcare. Because the way we've sort of been conditioned is that if it's not covered by insurance, I shouldn't spend any money. I don't want to spend any money. So we invest very little in our health. And what I discovered in my process is that money is important, but here's the thing, our body is our number one asset. So because when we don't have our body, we can't make money. When we don't have our body, we can't enjoy a meaningful life. So our body is our number one asset in terms of money and meaning. So if we accept the truth that our body is our number one asset, so we can't enjoy life without it, then it really does need to become our number one financial investment. And very few people invest in their health. And I think what you're referring to is that, you know, it's sort of an analogy I use is our car, for example. Like when we buy car insurance, we know when we buy car insurance, it's just for catastrophic type accidents, meaning, you know, our $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, $60,000, $70,000, $80,000, $90,000, $100,000 car, however much it is, we have insurance. So if we crash it, and especially if we total it, the insurance covers that $30,000 to, let's say, $100,000 investment we've made in our car. So, but we never for one second think that insurance should cover the routine maintenance, changing of tires, the oil changes, the car washes, the windshield wiper fluid, the brake lights go out, changing the brakes. You know, of course not. We know, hopefully, that we need to have the money to pay for that, because the car is an opportunity and there's that obligation to take care of it if we want it to be a really great opportunity or asset that we can use to get us to and from work, to and from places we go, the status symbol it may or may not be. But we never once think health insurance should cover the maintenance, the preventive maintenance or overall maintenance of the vehicle. But not the same for health. We seem to think that insurance should cover all of our health care. And I'm just here to say that no, if our body is our number one investment, that because we can't make money and we can't live a meaningful life and experience meaningful life, I'm here to tell you, when you're sick, you can't, shouldn't it become our number one financial investment? And if the answer is yes, then the question is how much will I invest in my health this year to keep my number one asset, my F1 car, in perfect condition? And how much, and quantify that? And so it's a change of mindset, and get out of this mindset that, oh my gosh, I'm going to whine and cry if it's not covered by insurance, and then I'm not going to spend any money towards my own optimal health.
You know, and that's a great thing for listeners to think long and hard about, because you see people lamenting on social media that their health insurance now is more than their mortgage payment. You know, we could go into the whole demise of people's personal finances because of what happened with healthcare. But really, there is a total underinvestment, isn't there, Christina? I mean, people just don't invest at all in their day-to-day lifestyle and their health.
No, they'll invest $4 a day in Starbucks, but how much are they investing, or how much do they invest? I mean, they, you know, it's Starbucks, or how much eating out at lunch every day, or how much eating all those dinners or happy hours. When people tally up just over all these places they're spending money, and then they compare it to what they're investing in their health, and, you know, it could be going to, you know, probably you do the same thing. I know, like, some of the functional doctors you meet with on a regular basis, and what you guys do for your health. It's not inexpensive, but it could be something as much as supplementation, organic, good quality, you know, foods and grass-fed meats. You know, that's a little bit more expensive, but it's, you know, what's your workout routine? Where might you be spending money there? Massages, the regenerative aspect is really, really important. We have to reinvest in our bodies. Another metaphor I like to use, you know, sort of using the car example, and I liked especially top performers, overachievers, that, you know, as, you know, type A's, perfectionists, that, you know, we tend to be really out of balance on sort of this left brain achievement side of the equation. But the example I like to use there, it's like, so let's compare ourselves as like F1 cars. You know, we have the F1 here in Austin, and I just love going to the F1 because you see these super machines, right? There's this combination of fast and technology and innovation. And I mean, they're best of class. There's these beautiful machines that race and win, and there's billions of dollars that go into the industry. And I don't even know how many millions that go into any one car. So, but what would happen if the F1 car, let's say that's like the machine, like our body, and the drivers like us, like driving our bodies, is what if the drivers and even the machines themselves, what if we just race that thing constantly and never stop? What's going to happen to that amazing machine?
You're definitely going to have breakdown occur.
It's going to break down. The thing is when you like, and so let me ask another question also, is the investment, is it more of an investment or less of an investment in that car versus just your Honda that you drive to and from work every day?
Well, obviously the maintenance costs and the opportunity costs, if you will, are commensurate, right? The F1 car is more expensive, and it's a lot more expensive to maintain.
Absolutely. So if you're going to be in the industry of F1, you know that the investment, the reinvestment in that machine is constant, and you're going to be writing big checks, because to race and win and to be competing and winning and playing at that level, it takes a lot of wear and tear on that thing. I mean, so much so that you have your pit stops in the middle of one race, let alone race to race. So if our bodies, those of us that are overachievers, that's great. Let's push these machines. They're meant to be run. They're meant to, you know, they're meant to be worked. They're meant to go fast. And when you take care of them and you put in the jet fuel that's different than regular fuel, when you have the best technology and innovation, investment in those vehicles, that's great. Keep doing that. But there's the reinvestment and every time of what they're, the constant maintenance to be able to perform at that level. So, you know, the Honda doesn't require as much maintenance. You know, the person that maybe doesn't work that hard and sits on the sofa after work and doesn't really push their bodies, you know, that will turn into other issues. But the overachiever, the investment needs to be there. If you're an F1, if you would put yourself in the F1 class performer, you need to have F1 regenerative sort of reinvestment back in your body. And that's why probably you broke, Kevin. That's why I broke. That's why I see a lot of people breaking right now, is because this intense 24/7 go, go, go Western lifestyle is not sustainable any more than that F1 car being raced without ever putting anything, reinvesting back into it is not sustainable either. That thing will break. So that's where it just sort of took me to the second paradox, in fact, is that I realized, let's say, to really to earn certain incomes and to be able to provide a certain lifestyle. It does. Well, let me reverse that. To be able to create a certain lifestyle, live a certain lifestyle does require a certain amount of money, you know, if we're honest. And so that number can be different for different people, but it does require a certain income to live a certain lifestyle that many people want, let's say. So to achieve that sort of level of income, you do have to work harder. Like F1, like I said, is a different level of performance. So F1 performers, you know, the F1, and I would put myself sort of in that category. I'd put you in that category. You know, we're always overdoing and doing more than, let's say, the average person. And that's part of what gets us out of bed every day is we're just motivated to do these things. You know, it's just built in somehow. So the other paradox is, oh, wow, you do have to sacrifice your health to succeed. So when we're pushing our bodies, like those F1s sort of drive at that sort of velocity and take that much energy, let's say, you know, you sacrifice the car a little bit, you know, you're driving that thing. So we do have to sacrifice our health to perform at high levels, meaning we use a lot of energy. We're traveling. We have long days. We are still exercising. You know, we're using a lot of energy. We're working harder, putting in more hours than, let's say, average. But so if we have to sacrifice our health to succeed, then the other side of that, though, that I learned and you've learned is, but you can't sacrifice your health for wealth. So you have to sacrifice your health to succeed, but you can't sacrifice your health for wealth. So what does that mean? Well, the way I reconciled that one was like, I accept, I work harder. I expend more. I am here to just squeeze the juice out of life. I want to run fast. I want to run hard. I want to go for it. But what I do now, what I didn't do then, is before it was just one-sided, I sacrificed my health, my family, everything for that proverbial success. But now it's not about the success. I race just as hard. But the difference is that I don't sacrifice my health for wealth. And how I don't do that is that I'm always, like, as much exertion that goes into performance, just as much now goes into investments in regenerating my health, recuperation, repair, rest. And so I'm very intentional about what I do for self-care and self-love. And self-love was a missing piece before. So I'm the money person and I'm money. I mean, I teach money, I teach wealth, I teach methodology, I teach how to, you know, turn incomes into real wealth and riches. Like I'm not airy-fairy when it comes to money. I'm like real and I teach money very mechanistically, but I also teach money in a way that your body is your number one investment. So that's where I want to see your financial investment. I want you to quantify it. And then two, self-love is a big part of this, is that we're not going to make the investments in ourselves if we don't love ourselves, if we don't notice that we're worthy, if I'm not worth that investment. And like those drivers, they love their cars. You know, if you're most, you know, people that might, you know, own their racehorses, they love their horses. You know, we need to love our bodies, our assets, who we are, our contribution. Because when we move to a place that it's less about that external sort of opinion from others and just a self-love and internal, like I know my meaning and why I'm here and what I need to do, then we'll more easily reinvest in ourselves. And so that reinvestment in our health can show up, like I was saying earlier, it can be in supplements, good food. I get a massage once a week. Now vacations, like downtime off the grid, is really important. I do like a couple really nice spa vacations every year. And now, like, I quantify. When I teach investments, I teach two parts of investments. I teach financial investments and self-investment. And you have in a self-investment bucket is how much money per year are you going to spend reinvesting in yourself in different categories. But there's lots of places to invest in health. You know, now I get 2 to 3 preventative maintenance, if you will, labs, that, 2 to 3 times a year, and meet with a functional medicine doctor, just talk about how we're doing, looking at things, changing supplements, changing food, and all these other places. And life becomes just so much better when you're reinvesting money into your health, into your, to meaningful experiences and things that we get to take with us, as opposed to the things that we can't.
You know, what's interesting about all this, and I love the sort of the paradox and how you resolved it, is as we invest in ourselves, we get the reward from it. And I think that there's so much focus on immediate gratification, immediate results, especially this time of year in January, right? That for listeners, you need to be looking at this as a long-term investment in your major asset, which is your health and wellness, not just a short term. And I bring that up because if you listen and go back and listen to this again, Christina's aha was the warning bells did not go off until they went off and she was in crisis. So if we look at modeling, and obviously humans are great modelers, right? We set the bar. Some of us set it really high and we like to model others. Be careful out there that you're not modeling something that's inappropriate for you. She gave the example of some of this, but the thing I would tell you, and Christine, I'd love to get your input on this, is you see a lot of this, oh, just do this exercise regimen, but there's no concept of lifestyle and sleep and restorative effects. Just work out, especially this time of year, or just do this extreme diet and you'll be right on track. And because there is a whole continuum of how metabolically broken people are, and it changes over time, you may put yourself in crisis and not make progress. Isn't that right from your perspective, Christine?
The modeling is so important. I mean, I couldn't agree with you more. And you're right, like choose the model wisely. And a lot of it is, there's so much propaganda and agenda and bullshit too. And, so you really do have to do a little research and I think looking, more under the hood to find out like what is real and what isn't, what is good marketing and who's truly doing this as a lifestyle and would be a good model. So choosing the models, I think, is really, really important. And then having your own reasoning too. I think it's so easy. There's so many fads and, we can also easily get caught up in a fad and we don't understand what's under the fad. And, and good marketers are really good at taking advantage of the fad and turning it into products and programs and all the other things and taking our money, which there's good stuff out there, but like you said, look who to model, look whose life seems more holistic. And that's so much of my message today, too, is that I was so unbalanced before and very linear and very siloed. And I'm not sure life works that way. I know mine doesn't. And so now it's more holistic. When if I am modeling, who has a life that really I want to maybe model holistically versus just one element of it? And really sort of pull back the covers and try to see what's underneath and who's underneath and who they really are. And are they sort of practicing what they preach? Because I'm not sure that's always the case. And then be careful the model too, is that I know for me, just so much of this Western achievement model, like I excelled at that model. Like I got an A+, as someone that I was always after the A+. That model didn't work for me long term. And I'd ace the model. I'd say I got an A+ in that Western achievement model, success model, sacrifice everything for the sake of, money, success, achievement, and status. And I'm just telling you, number one, it's not gratifying at the end of the day, because no matter how high you get or where you get, it's never good enough, because everything, how good I am or feel, is attached to what other people think of me. And then two, I don't think it's sustainable. But, and on the other side of that, like I'm talking a lot about health, but money's really important. The reason why I teach wealthy, money, wealth, and health wealth, and I teach them in tandem. I mean, it is a tandem. Like it's not a unicycle. It's not even just a normal bicycle. It's riding in tandem. We have to take care of both of these at the same time, because truth be told, it's hard to have really good health if we don't have the money. One, because as we know, stress is a killer. And so much disease is being tied back to stress and these unsustainable lifestyles. And money is a lot of financial stress for a lot of people, especially in the health industry. We need to treat our bodies as our number one investment, but make no mistake, we need to get good at other investments too. And we need to get straight with this money game. And we need to learn personal financial wealth just as we need to focus on health wealth, because we need both, in my opinion, to be healthy and happy and to live meaningful lives. You know, they're full of memories and experiences and being able to take care of our families and be out of the rat race and being off the debt roller coaster and just overconsumption and some of these tendencies we have to, you know, we tend to have that's just part of our culture. So, you know, there's always a few questions that I have people ask, you know, my own clients and that sort of thing. But one, you know, one question that I really want people to start quantifying is how much money is enough? And this is a really important question. It's a philosophical question and a very practical question. But how much money is enough? And if we don't answer that question, and I never had an answer to that before, my answer was always more. I don't know how much is enough, but more must be better than I have now. And so it's just, it's that what that not having an answer to it when the answer is more. I mean, it's just this perpetual state of more, 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 and where you are is never good enough. And when life in any level isn't ever good enough, there's not contentment or joy or happiness. So it's always the pursuit of more, which can become unhealthy in many different aspects and can affect our lives, our families, our own happiness. So how much money is enough? And believe it or not, it's quantifiable. So now that I know I have a number for how much money is enough, my life actually right now is good enough. I mean, and it's a great place to be. It's a free place to be. It's a content place to be. Is that when it comes to the money thing, it's like, wow, you know, if we just stayed right here, that's good enough. Now, am I going to stay here? No, I've got a lot more in me, a lot of more creation and impact and things I want to do that I'm, you know, quite sure it will turn to a lot more money. And then, you know, that's even the intention behind it. But if it didn't, right now is good enough. And there's a lot of peace in good enough. The answer doesn't always have to be more. So that's the first question I love people to answer is how much money's enough? And it's really how much money's enough to be able to underwrite the cost of living my good life? Like, where is good enough? The second question I love people to ask is how much is my money worth? Because money matters. Like I said, money matters more than anything. It pays the bills. And financial stress is a killer, and it's one of the top three stressors. So how much is your money worth? We need to know how much we're worth, net worth. And what net worth is, because the goal is freedom. The game is freedom. It's not achievement. The game is freedom. That's my game anyway. And knowing how much is enough and that place of freedom. So what is freedom when it comes to money, financial freedom? There's two freedoms that are really important, you know, well, three probably. One is political freedom. Obviously, it's really hard to sort of have freedom over your own life when you don't have political freedom. And so we're sort of granted that in this country. And that's something I really like to put out there, because I think even with this last election and stuff, people got really off track with, you know, with different beliefs and things. It got kind of crazy. But, you know, political freedom is something we've just been given to us by being born into this country, which is huge. It produces so much autonomy and freedom and opportunity that we've just been given. So there's political freedom, obviously, which is really important, because those that don't have it don't have a lot of control over their own futures. The second part, though, is health freedom, is that what I learned, and I think what you learned, and maybe many of your listeners have learned, is that when your health is taken away, there is no freedom. You lose the freedom. And that's why you'll give your last dollar to get your health back, because you realize that if I can't get out of bed, I'm not free. If I can't use my mind to create or enjoy, if I'm stuck in a dark place, there's no freedom. In fact, it's hell. It's the exact opposite of freedom. It's a different type of chain, ball and chain, or jail. So that's the second freedom is our health. Health is so much freedom that many times we don't realize until we lose it. And then the third one, which is a very important freedom, is financial freedom. And financial freedom means we have the income to underwrite the cost of living our life. And so, but the goal is to move from working income as what pays the bills to asset income. So when our assets throw off enough income, enough cash flow, enough income that pays the cost of living our good enough life, like I said, that's freedom, because then we have the freedom to do what we want or to do what we love on our own time, on our own agenda, because the bills are paid, the good enough bills are paid. So we get full freedom over our own life. And that's the importance of financial freedom. So the goal in the money game is financial freedom. And if we don't know how much our money's worth and we don't continue to build worth to our money, meaning net worth, and what is net worth? Why the purpose of net worth is so we build our assets to produce future cash flow that replaces the cost of, you know, replaces our working income, so that when we have the freedom of our time. So that's how much is my money worth. The third question is how much is my health worth? How much is your health worth? Quantify it. And then that's how much to be investing in it every single year. Like, how much are you willing to invest in your health based on how much is it worth? And my health is worth six figures a year. And that's how much I spend on my health this day and age. Is before, where I spent nothing on my health, really, it's six figures just on my health because I'm worth it. Because I know what it feels like when I've lost my health freedom. And then sort of the final question, and I'll end here, is how much are you worth? Like, how much are you worth? And that's a really good one to reconcile too, because I think that goes back to self-worth, which, you know, we're talking net worth, but self-worth is just as important, because when we have a good self-worth, I think it leads to a certain path and how we approach the answer to all these questions as opposed to when we don't.
Well, and thank you for sharing that. I know that I've certainly followed your program in terms of what you release on social media and your podcast. I know for a lot of listeners that hadn't been sort of exposed to this, that was a great way for them to get a little bit of the, not only philosophy, but some of the nuts and bolts and key questions, Christina. If they wanted to find out more specific information, why don't you give your website and podcast information before we drop off today?
Sure. My podcast is Wealthy, Wealthy Life on iTunes. So anybody wanting to pick up another podcast in addition to yours, it's Wealthy, Wealthy Life. And it's wealthy spelt like the money wealth, but then the health wealth is W-E-L-L-T-H-Y. So it's a play on words. Wealthy, Wealthy Life is on iTunes. And then the best place to find me is there's the URL that's called howto.money. howto.money. And there's my free resources for some free money education that goes more in depth as to how I teach my money methodology. And it's howto.money. So not .com, but .money.
Excellent. Well, Christina, thank you so much for your time. I'm sure I don't doubt that we'll have you back on again. I really appreciate your time, and Happy New Year.
And so ends another episode of the Wealthy, Wealthy Life podcast, where Christina brings you unconventional, cutting-edge strategies from leading experts to optimize your wealth and your health. As a token of gratitude for listening, go to podcast.fallingformoney.com and download a free copy of her best-selling book, Falling for Money. If you're ready to change your relationship with money, head on over to podcast.fallingformoney.com and download your free copy today.